Det stilles opp noen premisser her som vi først må forklare, tenker jeg. Ene premiss, det ene premiss. Oh, in English. Well, yes. What is the premise for this hippie thing here? Representation or hippie? Hippie would mean an individual, a little flippant, you know, doing this and that, and love and ocean and death. No. What we do in Drammen is that our dialogue forum have representatives from the members. So they're there with a mandate from their community, right? It's another question, absolutely. How do these persons do that work? Do they take it back? And are they able to make a process within their own community with ideas from the forum? And you should ask the same questions if you sit in the church forum, in a church council. You're there because you're pushed, or you're there because you're interested in it. What do you do with your position? I think this is very important to just contemplate. But the idea is you come there because you're sent, and you represent the Hindu or the humanist or whatever. Right? And the forum itself consists, I think, mainly of the board, the people elected again from the greater, we have 28 members, and they elect their board of members. And this board is the people that develops most of the dialogue, I think. And then, of course, we have meetings. We have different meetings. I could say, are we able to come as the Folkekirken or Church of Norway with a broad mandate that everyone in the church supports us? Of course not. Of course not. I'm really... I'm receiving messages you wouldn't think of. Mm. I'm more suited to be an imam, of course, than a priest, because I'm so happy with the Muslims. All as I think these idiot things you've heard also. What is the point with dialogue if you agree in the first place? The idea is you're different. The idea is that you bring something to the table that might be of conflict. I could talk about praying when you, what's called azan, when you call for prayer, right? Why shouldn't the mosques do that when the church bell rings all the time? Not a single mosque in Norway have this. If they try, it's an uproar. Why? Because they're going to take over. They destroy our community. They cry out these things we don't understand. All these things, of course. And with our neighbor mosque said, okay, we will try to have the call for prayer just 10 minutes at Fridays, not more. 15,000 people wrote a petition. We won't have it. Who started it? You would think it's the political right-wing groups that get all the support. And we talked about it. We had a discussion, an open meeting, which we have with different teams, and we said, why is this? And we had a representative from the Methodist Church. And the Methodist Church of Drammen was built in 1860, I think, with a bell tower. Have they ever had a bell there? No. Why? Because the majority wouldn't accept it. Methodists, for God's sakes. Christians. Why? It's a question about minority and majority. And all the sentiments connected to that. So I think that's also basic of what we do in dialogue. Is it a necessary dialogue? Or is it a theological, flippant dialogue of, you know, principles of theology that nobody cares about? Well, I'm sorry to say, I'm a theologian. I love theology. But in the big pictures, when we meet, we talk about the basic things of humanity, how to live together. And I think that's one of the base, the main theologians and dialogue people in Norway, Oddbjørn Leirvik, he's talking about the necessary dialogue, which brings us together. The necessary dialogue that makes the community function with all the voices, different voices, and people would like, as the, we heard about, I think Michael, you talked in the morning about this woman from Eritrea, was it? Somalia? Yeah. Of course she will have her group. Of course she will talk her language. Of course they have things to discuss, to pray together, whatever. Undisturbed by some folkkirke priest. Why should they? But they, again, they meet in the groups where this is discussed, where we meet to solve things, to be together. And of course, theologians from the Muslim side, from the Buddhist side, from any side, would love to discuss different perspectives of the faith. But as I see it in my experience, this is not the main thing that's happening. The main thing is to make people together, to make the call when things happen and we need to stick together to help each other in different ways. I'm sorry if this is not what you thought, but that's the way I've experienced it. So, of course, motivation is to be part of the community in your own right, with your own faith, with your own tradition, fully accepted as such. Whether you're a conservative Christian or you're a conservative Muslim. That said, we don't have any from the Pentecostal church. Why is that? The elder council, they don't like it, it's a problem, you know. A lot of different things being said about that. So I think it's fair to say, well, if you call mainstream theologians hippies, we talk of hippies. But the more conservative groups, the more focused on their own, on the missionary work, often connected to certain groups of theology. Well, I wouldn't follow that path, but you know, I think you know what I mean. So it's a social thing, much connected to what I call the necessary dialogue. So, conflict handling. It's very nice to have someone to call when something happens. Somebody you know, and somebody knowing what's happening, and that we can stand together to solve conflicts. So what I see, you talked about the fire of dialogue, the force that brings us together. If you want it or not, when things are harmony, everything is smooth, nothing really happens, well, it's nice, but do we have to? No, maybe not. We have enough with our own community. I have two jobs, and then I go to the mosque to lead the prayers, and then I have all the calls. Where's the time to convene with these priests that have all this time? Okay, you see, from the other perspective. Time is precious. It's precious. But when somebody shoots 66 youth and claims this is about faith and cleanness, if you don't react then, when to react? And if some shooting is taking place by racist color, if nobody speaks up, when should you then speak up? So, well, we're kind of tired of officials of the municipality asking us to bring Muslims together because there's a fear of terrorism. It's a presupposition that Muslims are dangerous, isn't it? What are the forces behind the initiatives of dialogue? Well, this is put to the point. This is not maybe the most usual thing, but it's remarkable. And I think you know it from Denmark. We have a tendency to put labels on different groups of reasons that you could understand, but it's not acceptable. So I would say this is both in the grants, in money coming, it's connected somehow to getting to know people that unfortunate messages are given in the mosque and so on and so forth. But as it happens, we also work about the property handling in the municipality. Why is it so very difficult to get a place to worship for the Hindu community? neighbors don't like it. Well, should we make an effort to help communities to have their place of worship? That's something to discuss with your community, with the municipality, and different topics like that. Well, of course, we have resistance within our own communities. I think it's fair to say that in Norway, about 50% of the population would say that, again, I'm sorry, colleague, to say that Muslims and Muslim values are not consistent with Norwegian values. 50%. Of course, that's a fair portion also within the Church of Norway. How to counter that? How to make people knowledgeable about Muslim ethics and morals? And so there's an endless list of things that you could talk about and make people meet and relax and listen. And that's what dialogue is about. Two ears, one mouth. Should think so when I'm talking, but that's it. Yeah, I think I touched on what we talk about and how we talk about it. And we don't want conflict. We don't want conflict to happen just to have fire to the bonfire, of course not.
No, the point was how to keep the tension.
Yeah, then you need to address what is the concerns. What are the concerns of different groups, and how do we solve them together? You don't construct some idea of it. Well, we try that. We have a very nice topic, interesting discussion team, and we have plaudits, and we have, you know, public relations. Five people come. If you have something really burning that people are really interested in and need to solve. In the Corona time, for example, we mobilized a lot of different groups, and we supported, I think, well, 2,000 families with necessities in our part of town, which is, you know, in need of different things. Well, is that religion? If you have Martin Lönneboe's definition of the five languages of religion, the language of action should be one of the languages that we are most concerned with. The language of action, you know, defined by our faith and our motivation to help our neighbors. So I think that goes for the social work and what we do as a community. We take care of each other. And if we don't use our force as religious leaders and religious communities to execute that force and help each other in a visual way, not retreating and pointing fingers and saying, well, one of your leaders said that, you must be crazy, it's not fair. I mean, you can say all these things, but what you do really together, and it's also about showing, I mean, to give a sign of hope to people. That the imam and the priest and, you know, the Hindu leader stays together and does things in the community to make youth and make a picture of what is really happening. Oh, they don't fight. Oh, interesting. Are they friends? Unbelievable. These pictures mean something, right? And we should statute them more often, more than retreating in our small chambers of discussing theology on an advanced level. Which is, in brackets, very interesting, but it's not so visual. And not so visual, it's not so helpful for the community. Oh, well, yes?
I want to go back to the question about when and what we will meet about, because I didn't grasp how often we will meet, and do we meet once a month, and we have some subjects to discuss with this other.
Yeah, I'm sorry,
From abroad, coming, saying something, or what?
I think you should understand the basic is that the fire of the discussion and the intensity is produced by the community around what's happening. But on a regular basis, we have the board meetings every month. So people meet regularly. And then they take part in the planning of the dialogue dinner and the festival and other things happening. We have courses. I didn't go into that. We have a course called Youth... youth, religion, and upbringing. Maybe young people from different communities talk together about the tension between their own culture and the wider community. And we have a series of podcasts doing that. And the planning and, you know, the work behind this takes place. We have every September in the festival, we have a guided tour, three guided tours in different holy places in our community, bringing people together, a bus, taken care of, food, information, these things. And then we have the open meetings in the library, 2-3 times a semester, 6 times maybe a year. We will take, try to take those burning issues with a small, you know, presentation first and then discussion. And of course, when we talked about the call for prayer and the church bells, who was sitting in the front row? The main figures of Siam. You have the same guys, right? Stop Islam sitting in Almuge. Well, they kept silent for a while, but the paper, local paper being there, what they reported afterwards, after the whole discussion with the Methodists was talking about, you know, the bells and why not having it. The only thing they wrote about was that one of the Siam people said to the leader of the church council, "What do you do when the Muslims take over? They will kill you." And then she said, asking one of the young Muslims being there, "Is this true? You want to kill me?" And they laughed. They laughed. And then she started again to put chairs together. But my point is, what makes conflict makes, you know, the headlines is what is reported. And it's so frustrating. All the time. If nothing bad happens, nobody knows. Well, yes. I'm sorry. I think from what I've said, you understand that I'm very much for the idea of community as a whole, and that we're taking part in the community as religious leaders within our own right. So what we do when I preach the gospel, I hopefully live up to what I say. I say, missio. I send people out from church to do what? To be of some value to their neighbors. And preach the gospel, if necessary, with words. Yeah, you can take it the way you want, but... And if I'm asked, of course I answer how and why I'm a Christian. But what is, it's not written in my forehead that the first thing I see and I meet a Muslim, I try to convince him that he's wrong and I'm right. Well, this is, I mean, it's you understand. So what's the point? Well, I'm a priest. I'm not about to convert. And as it happens, it's very few conversion stories. What you should know, that we have an agreement on the top level between the Muslim Council of Norway and Church of Norway, that we're accepting, in a very pragmatic, concrete way, both ways, conversion. And this was so interesting that I had an interview with BBC this spring. They came all the way from BBC to interview us about what is happening in the wake of that. Did the conversion process explode? No, it didn't. It didn't. But it's a sign of acceptance both ways, that this happens. And it should happen. And it might happen. But it's not what's happening most of the time. The most of the time we talk to each other and explains what we stand for and what's the motivation, our faith and our life. And if this is not interesting, then you should do something else.
Is there a question today?
Jamen, hvis lige er gjort det her spørgsmål færdigt, hvis det er en tilfælde til det her, Er det sådan i forhold til...
Ja, men det, hvis der er mere end det, så...
Ja.
Nej, jeg må...
Det er en af de typiske konflikter.
Ja, det er bare fordi, at klokken er 12 i forhold til...
Yeah,
til at få
tavlen gjort rent. Ja, så jeg har ikke svart. I didn't ask and answer you on that conflict stuff. There are of course conflicts, and there are unbridgeable differences. Within our own church, the Church of Norway is fighting like you don't know how much on the case of same-sex marriages, for example. And there's a range of things that we don't agree on, of course, within the church. And there's similar differences within the Muslim community and in any community. As you know, there's big trouble with nationalism within the Hindu community in India, as you know. So there's ample examples of conflicts that are flourishing, and we could support them by digging down and say, we have to support Iran, and we insist, and so on and so forth. Or we could try to, in the best fashion that we can, to use our ears, be faithful to our own faith, but be of service and interest for the community to help us survive on this planet. Yeah, I mean, we have war in Europe. We have the climate crisis. We have ample examples of what to do together to try to do our best, at least. Yeah.
Og jeg mener med, at dialog er et bredt ønske. Det er det sidste. Altså, at der er også ønsket af hinduer, muslimer og buddhister. Altså, er det...
I don't have a thermometer measuring the temperature of the intensity of the wish, but I know, as you saw from the list, we have participants, and the first chair leader of the forum was a Sikh, the second one was a Muslim, the third one I think was a humanist or a Baha'i, so it's just I don't think someone from the Church of Norway. Yeah, well, I was chair maybe for 2 years. And interest and an idea is that we want to do this together. And it was not a problem. Well, maybe. There was one of the members in the Church Council of Fjell that was concerned about us letting the Muslims pray. They did not pray in the church hall. They prayed in an adjacent room. And we have done this for years. We have had Hindu functions in the basement, but we respect the room itself and the character of the room as a room of Christian service, so we don't do these things. They do that in England, in St. Philip's Church, but we have not done it in respect for each other. And we have the same invitation from the mosque. If something happened to a church, we're welcome to come there. I don't think they would differ. They would let us, as the Prophet did, letting us pray in the prayer hall. But there are concerns, of course, and there are voices which are often mixed, not only in religious concerns, but in maybe social, nationalistic, you know, cohesion questions. I'm sorry, I'm not able to probably answer all this in a good way, but we should maybe have another 5 hours or so.
Vi har jo mere tid, vi har 3 timer mere, men vi skal have lidt at spise, og så skal vi have nogle indlæg fra Aarhus, som I og så vil stille åbne spørgsmål til, og så, ja... Så kan det være, at der måske også er nogle af tingene, som bliver belyst på en anden måde, og der kommer helt sikkert nye til. Men nu skal vi have blodsukkeret lidt op og have noget at spise. Karina, er der nogle...